This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Welcome, boys and girls, and especially to the movie lovers out there. Today's program, we're going to be talking about the upcoming Virginia Film Festival. Director Jody Kielbasa in the studio to break out all the news, the latest news, the unknown facts. Sit down. I don't care. Walk around. Just stay tuned. Special shout out to the Harrisonburg 95.1 folks, because we know you'll drive over the mountain to come watch the film festival. And a big thanks to Duo, a new and gently used contemporary clothing store in Charlottesville. Duo's fall shipments arriving daily. Also at Duo, you can shell. You can shell your gently used clothes. Duo open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, and Saturdays, 11 to 5. Duo, you can find them 101 Elliewood Avenue in Charlottesville, or shop online, duo.com. All right, let's get to the real part of the program today. Jody Kielbasa. Jody, how are you?
I'm great. Good morning, Rick.
And thank you for coming in.
Especially
now that it's not cold and not wet out there. So you can pretend that you're elsewhere, sort of movie-like in your head. But stay focused on our topic for the day, something you know a lot about, the upcoming Virginia Film Festival. 22 years?
22 years, that's right.
And this is your first.
It is. It's entirely new to me, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
Give me some background. I mean, how does somebody get chosen to be the director of the 22nd Virginia Film Festival? It's not like you're like, oh, I like movies.
Well, you know, for the past 10 years, I was the founding executive director of the Sarasota Film Festival in Sarasota, Florida. And that is grown into a rather large, prominent regional film festival.
How old is that film festival?
Well, that festival's entering its 12th year this year.
Okay, so you founded that.
Yes.
So you
were
there for 11 years, started it up, and ran it for 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, that festival grew from a really small festival to a festival that was running 10 days and had approximately 45,000 people in attendance. And we screened 226 films for our 10th anniversary, actually. So it grown to be a fairly substantial festival.
And how does someone become selected to be the director of this film festival? And give me a little comparison. You said 10 days, correct?
That's correct.
And 45,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
What's the expectations or the hopes for this one?
Well, you know, I think the hopes and the expectations are to put on the best possible film festival that we can over the 4 days that we have. This year we're screening about 85 plus films, and I have no idea what the attendance will be. I certainly hope it will be strong, and that people will flock in droves to attend this year's festival, and I hope we've pulled together a promising program that will engage the community and get them to come out and see some films.
So how do you get chosen, though? And what's the process? I'm curious as to... you know, do you just send them a resume? Do you talk on the phone?
You know, well,
do you send them messages?
How about all those things? It's actually a fairly comprehensive search that the university conducted, because the University of Virginia presents the Virginia Film Festival. So I actually am an employee of the University of Virginia. And, of course, they did a national search, and I, you know, honestly don't know the number, but I think it was a fairly high number of applicants, and quite a few people that they interviewed, and I had a fairly comprehensive interview over several days here at the university, and then flew out to Los Angeles to meet with members of our advisory board, who are a number of UVA grads and friends of the festival who are quite prominent in the film industry, and we had a little talk out there, and I must say I was very, very pleased and happy and thrilled to have been selected, and to be able to move my family up here to Charlottesville, which we absolutely love, and to be a part of this great festival and the university as well, and probably most importantly the community of Charlottesville, which we just have found to be extraordinarily welcoming.
Well, that's a good, a little good press release there for Charlotte. So we're gonna quote that. We're gonna put that on the iPod, right, Sean? Sean McCord here today to help put things together. Sean, you volunteer at the film festival, correct?
That's true.
And that's something that people can still offer to help with, if I'm guessing appropriately.
That's absolutely true. You can go to vafilm.com, and there's a sign-up sheet right there on the website, and you can volunteer. And, you know, we need all the help we can. It's a lot of work to put on a film festival and deliver a great event to the community. And, you know, I want to head back for a second about Charlottesville. You know, it's kind of fun because, you know, before I came here, I didn't just move here. I asked people about Charlottesville, and a lot of people, actually, and I've not been able to find anybody to say a bad word about Charlottesville. Everybody seems to love it. And like
you
got to
find some Hokies.
Yeah, I guess you got to find somebody out there, but I haven't been able to at this point.
And for those who are, you know, we're going to listen for that. We're going to talk about a lot of things upcoming during the four-day festival. Some really interesting films being put on, some local things for those who want to focus, who are the localvores. But if you're considering, you know, the volunteer thing and what you could do, you know, I did this for a while where I got to drive the cars. Really cool to drive the cars, and you never know who you're going to end up with in the back seat that you're taking to their location. Really, really fun. And I enjoyed that. And I hope people who think that they might have the time, it's not like you need the whole day. There are a lot of things that you can do in smaller hours. So give it a look. VA Film Fest, is that correct?
No,
VA Festival.
VAfilm.com.
No, I screwed that up. VAfilm.com, and you can go on there and find the thing that fits best into your schedule that the film festival can use you for. Give it a shot. All right, let's talk about the festival itself and the way you fit into it, Jody Kilbasa, the director of this year's film festival, Virginia Film Festival. People who follow this recognize that this is your first year. When did you get to come in and participate? Because my understanding is, did you have anything to do with selecting this year's title?
No, not at all. I had nothing to do with that selection. It was selected before I came here, and I'm fortunate in that it is a potentially a rather broad theme, which allows a lot of flexibility in programming. I mean, the obvious is comedy with funny business, but actually when you look at the term up, it talks about shenanigans and waywardness and hijinks and double dealing and subterfuge and even dirty tricks. And as a result of that, it you know, one of the things that immediately brought to mind is politics for me. It was a perfect fit for that. And we have a rather healthy sidebar of films, political films in the festival. We take a look at the funny business of financials. We're screening Wall Street during the festival, and you know, it's a perfect example of what's gone on in this country if you revisit that film a number of years later with the financial meltdown that we've experienced in the last 18 months in this country. And there's a lot of various themes that you can explore with that besides the more obvious, which is comedy.
So you come in and the theme is already chosen. How much work do you get to do in selecting? You know, where did you come in? The last film festival, early November. So when did you come in, and how far along was the festival itself other than the title? Did you get to pick movies? Did you get to make suggestions as to, you know, big names who you might ask to come and add to?
All of that. When I came in, the festival was blank slate other than the title. So I was able to program the festival thematically, choose the films, go after the talent and invite them as well that are attending, work with my advisory board to work on some people that were attending, and essentially come up with the program completely. And more than anything, work with people in the community, which has been something that, I feel a program should evolve organically, but more than anything, I think a film festival and perhaps any art festival should reflect the community of which it's a part. And so part of the big process for me over the 5 months that I've lived in Charlottesville is slowly, or in this case perhaps as quickly as I can, getting to know other arts groups in the community, social service organizations, get a sense of what might be of interest in this community as I'm programming.
All right, Jody Kilbasa here from the Virginia Film Festival, upcoming Thursday, November 5th. Through Sunday, November 8th. Lots of interesting things. And Jody, you were saying that the program guide itself is coming out this week?
That's right. It comes out this week. We're going to have about 25,000 programs that drop, and they'll be available. And the program itself has undergone a rather substantial redesign, and it will be a glossy, full-color program this year. And we hope that everybody will pick one up and come to the festival.
All right, so I want to talk a little bit about the festival itself in terms of the films that are coming out. We'll get to the special events and the big names, but I want you to discuss the festival title of Funny Business. You mentioned this a little bit a moment ago, but what is the percentage of humor versus oddities?
Well, gosh, I haven't counted that up, but I would guess that it's probably, you know, about...
But you participated in all the movie selection, so at some point, at some point there must have been discussion about, okay, all right, we need to make sure that there's some of this in here as well.
Well, I think you're always aware of that as you're programming, but I, you know, honestly, I've never counted up. I would venture to guess that it's probably about, you know, 50-50. Quite honestly, but we have a lot of serious topics in the festival, but almost all of them in some way can fit into the theme. You can take a look at the funny business of race relations. And when I say funny business in that regard, I put that in quotes, but, we take a look at a documentary called, Locked Out, The Fall of Massive Resistance, that marks the 50th anniversary of when essentially African Americans were shut out of the school system in Virginia. And I open with a film called Marching Band that celebrates the election of our first African American president, as seen through the eyes of the University of Virginia Marching Cavaliers and the Virginia State University Trojan Explosion Marching Band. So it's kind of interesting to see where we were and where we've come from, and that's a different way of treating the title Funny Business. But then we have a wonderful, wonderful selection of screwball comedies during the festival from the 30s, which is really kind of relevant right now because, you know, this country in the last 18 months or so has undergone a recession, some might argue a depression. So to harken back to the days of the screwball comedies and what that had to say when this country underwent a depression in the late 20s through the 30s, I think that that's kind of interesting to take a look at.
11:13 here on The Wake Up Call. Jody Kilbasa is the director of the Virginia Film Festival with the title Funny Business, upcoming in just a few weeks, 22nd annual event here at the Charlottesville, the hub of Virginia filmmaking, correct? Isn't that right? We blow off everybody else.
It's amazing how many filmmakers there are here that are doing some excellent work. So, I think you may be right.
And we're going to get to that in a moment about the local issue. You mentioned the film Marching Band as the opening event. And what I read in the lovely mail out that I guess went out a few weeks ago, it lists Marching Band as having its North American premiere.
That's correct.
How do you get, back up for a second, because the Virginia Film Festival, at least in the past, and it might change under your guidance, had its focus on the academic side of things with the panels, the discussions, and things like that. So how do you get a fairly extensive and large movie, I mean, not made in Charlottesville, not made by a Charlottesville director, to have its North American premiere in Charlottesville at an academic film festival?
Well, you know, actually, this film was made in Charlottesville.
Oh, well,
quite
shut
a bit.
Up.
Sorry about that. But
if I'd been listening to you talk about the marching bands, I would have known that.
Well, a large part of it was shot right here in Charlottesville, chronicling our marching band, the University of Virginia Marching Cavaliers, and then the other part was shot on the campus of the Virginia State University.
But those are not this is not the first film under others' guidance to have their North American premiere in Charlottesville.
Here's why it's the North American premiere. Interestingly enough, it was shot by two French directors, and it premiered at the Cannes Film Festival last May. So this is the North American premiere, and it's actually not a U.S. film. It's a French film. There will not be French subtitles in this case, but there are when they show it over in France and in Europe. And so it's really kind of interesting. We're flying in the directors from France for the North American premiere of the film, and there is beautiful footage of Charlottesville in the University of Virginia grounds, and of course both marching bands that I talked about, along with as I mentioned, it's really the last year's presidential election is viewed from the eyes of the marching bands of these two universities. And it's really a fascinating look, and it's a celebration of, I think, of these university students and their energy and their commitment and their passion in this political election.
Jody Kilbasa here as we talk about the upcoming Virginia Film Festival. Jody, you mentioned the Cannes Film Festival, an event where awards are given. We don't do that here. Why not?
Well, we may start doing that. We're going to have an audience favorite award this year, in which we're going to be engaging the festival goers, the movie patrons, to vote on their favorite film. And I think we're going to launch an audience favorite this year. And in the future, I hope that we are going to start giving awards to the filmmakers and perhaps prizes if that's something that we can get underwritten. I think that's absolutely important, because if we're going to attract the best films and the best filmmakers, we really need to do that. Now, I'm not trying to suggest that we're going to in any way compete with Cannes, which is one of the oldest and one of the largest film festivals in the world, and that's not what we're trying to do. I just think that in time we want to make sure we're getting the very best, the highest quality films, the best filmmakers to actually come in, because at the end of the day, I think that that's one of the most interesting things about a festival. You know, first of all, if you look up festival, it means to celebrate. So it can't just be an academic experience. It needs to go beyond that. It needs to engage the community. There needs to be a celebration not only of the art of film, but a celebration in and of itself that engages discussion. And in a sense, these filmmakers want to celebrate their achievement, too. So I think that's very important.
The first time I saw you, we did not shake hands or anything, because I was in my theater seat. You were at Vinegar Hill Theater, sort of introducing the, and I'm going to get the name wrong, the Manhattan Short Film Festival project.
Yeah.
And describe that a little bit to what that was, because I think it's something that Charlottesville and the Virginia Film Festival, gosh, that would be so interesting.
Well, that's something that we've done apparently every year. And again, this is my first year, but it's a simultaneous screening of short films around the country. And they're films that are international short films that in a sense are in a competition. And, it's almost like a simulcast. I mean, not exactly, but they all generally tend to screen on one day, and audience members vote on their favorite film. And then that's submitted to the company that's actually presenting this film festival as it happens around this country. And there's a vote and a tally, and they choose a winner. So it's really kind of an interesting kind of film festival, mini film festival, but on a very broad scale.
And when you, in the press release material, there's a quote from you as creating new traditions.
Yes.
And so if we're going to have sort of a vote on the audience favorite, that seems like a new tradition. What else are you talking about?
Well, one of the things we did this year, which I wouldn't say it's a new tradition, perhaps it's revived an old tradition, but we had a call for entries, which is a solicitation of new films from filmmakers around the world. And we had a nice representation this year. It was the first time that we'd done it in, I think, over 5 or 6 years. And one of the great things that came out of that was a number of really wonderful Virginia films that were submitted to the festival this year that are great films, stand on their own, and that I might have programmed regardless of whether I was programming for the Virginia Film Festival or a festival somewhere else around the country. And so that was a great thing. This year we're also going to begin the tradition of having a closing night film. I think the final Sunday of the festival has been a little bit more quiet, and by mid to late afternoon, the festival has in a sense ended, and we're going to be screening Wonderful World and bringing in Matthew Broderick and the director Josh Golden and one of the producers, Glenn Williamson, and that's going to screen at 5:30 on Sunday afternoon. So we're not going out quietly this year. In fact, we're actively programming through that evening, and films will not end until, I think, 9 o'clock on Sunday night.
All right, 11:21 here on the Wake Up Call as we talk with Jody Kilbasa. He's the director of the 22nd Annual Virginia Film Festival upcoming and beginning on November 5th. Let me give everybody the markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Sunny right now, rainy but a few clouds and some sunlight later today. Highs 65 to 70. Cooler over in the valley. Clear tonight, lows 35 to 40. Sunny tomorrow, highs in the low to mid 60s. Right now, it's a nice day out there. Clear in the valley and 51. In Lynchburg, it's 55. Richmond, 57. And 57 here in Charlottesville as well.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Hey, and let's give a shout out to the folks at Alt Energy of Charlottesville. Alt Energy providing professional design and installation of solar energy systems in Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Alt Energy solar systems can pay for themselves and reduce your carbon footprint. More online, altenergyincorporated.com. And the folks at Ananda. Ananda is the Charlottesville Community's Center for Conscious Living and Alternative Healing Practices. With a focus on mind-body integration and soul-level living, they offer massage, energy revitalization, and stress release, as well as meditation classes. Ananda, off the downtown mall next to the Vinegar Hill Movie Theater. For more info, it's AnandaWellnessCenter.com. All right, back with Mr. Kilbasa from the Virginia Film Festival, upcoming Thursday, November 5th through Sunday, November 8th. Jody, you were talking about the last Sunday, final Sunday, having Matthew Broderick in. How do you go about getting big names like that? As well as Annette Bening, I believe, recently had to cancel. So what happens when you have that, I mean, it's not the day before, but sort of definitely late in the planning cancellation?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, in programming and planning a film festival, it's really kind of a roller coaster. You have films that you add, you have films that you have drop, you have talent. And, you know, a lot of this talent, they have very complex schedules, obligations, shooting schedules for films change. In the case of Matthew Broderick, he's actually doing a play in New York. And the only day, as it turns out, that he was available to come in was on Sunday. And that's something that actually worked very well for us. With Annette Bening dropping out, you know, it's everybody has a life. Everybody has obligations. Everybody has things that change on them. And so that was the circumstance in that happened. And I guess we're actually fortunate that it happened really 3 weeks out as opposed to 3 days out. And it's much more difficult to plan or react when that happens. So, you know, at the end of the day, we have a great festival lineup, and it's about the films. And we have some wonderful filmmakers coming in. And we also have some special guests like John Waters and Alan Ball and Cherry Jones and Matthew Broderick and Candy Crowley from CNN and a number of wonderful directors that are flying in with their films and tremendous participation from experts within the community and experts from the University of Virginia faculty and from other universities throughout the state of Virginia that are represented as well. They're going to participate in this process. So I think we're going to have a great program.
Why would somebody from CNN be here?
Well, you know, we were talking about funny business earlier, and one of the things that we're focusing on this year is a sidebar of political films. And 20 years ago, we screened at the Virginia Film Festival Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, and we're fortunate enough to have my personal favorite actor of all time, Jimmy Stewart, come in. And, of course, Jimmy Stewart's no longer with us, but it is the 70th anniversary this year of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington and also chronicles the golden year of Hollywood when you had Mr. Smith Goes to Washington and Nanotchka and Gone with the Wind and The Wizard of Oz and at least another dozen other incredible, great, great films. It was recognized as the golden age of Hollywood. And I wanted to find a way to screen that film that would be kind of different. And about 2 weeks after I moved here to Charlottesville to begin work on the festival, I picked up a Washington Post, and the Sunday magazine on the front cover was a photo of Jimmy Stewart as Mr. Smith. And superimposed next to him was President Barack Obama, President Ronald Reagan, and Governor Sarah Palin. And the article was written by Liza Mundy, and it was an article talking about the 70th anniversary of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, the impact that the film had then. They actually screened it at the Capitol, and apparently it really upset Harry Truman at the time because the senators are portrayed basically as being dirty and crooks, except for, of course, Jefferson Smith. And Jefferson Smith is the classic political outsider in Washington, and the article reviewed who are the classic outsiders today, who portrays themselves as an outsider and who truly is an outsider. And I called Liza Mundy the very next day on a Monday, and as it so turned out, she's a University of Virginia alum, and I asked her if she would come down and head up a panel on that, and we asked Candy Crowley if she would come in and sit on that panel, and Professor Larry Sabato with the university as well, and we're going to have a discussion about who those political outsiders and insiders are and how they're posing themselves, whether accurately or not today, who are the political heirs to Jefferson Smith. And we're screening that film twice on Friday of the festival, and the first time we're screening it for high school students, and it's completely full. 550 high school students are coming in,
good
and they've
grief.
Studied this as part of their curriculum, and that panel's going to happen immediately following that. And then we're screening it again at 1 o'clock, and that's open to the general public. And we hope we'll get a good turnout because I think it'll be fascinating. And I'm a big fan of Candy Crowley as well.
And so the panel happens for both events? I mean, after each film showing?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Let's take a moment and talk about some of these specific films themselves before we get back to some of these more radical, out-of-the-blue questions that I toss at you. It says centerpiece screening, Mother and Child.
That's right.
I'm curious about the film mm-hmm. and how it fits into funny business as a whole.
Well, we're really fortunate to have that film, and you know, that film is really a sneak preview that we've gotten. It's a very powerful film. I saw it in Toronto. It actually is produced by one of our board members, Julie Lin, who's a UVA graduate, and that's a powerful cast. It has Jimmy Smits, and it has Samuel L. Jackson and Cherry Jones, who's coming, director Rodrigo Garcia, who's been here before, Annette Bening, of course, who unfortunately did have to bow out. And, you know, it's a film that deals with some really important issues, and at the center of it is the issue of adoption. And, you know, again, this is one of those funny businesses that are under quotes, because there's a lot of funny business, and I don't mean in any way comic, that goes on with adoptions and how those work out and the emotions that key into that as well. And, again, this is a very beautiful, very powerful film, and one that I thought would be very important, and we're very fortunate to be able to screen it as a sneak preview that evening on Saturday evening at the Paramount.
How do you get other independent businesses to participate? Because aside from having the Paramount, there are a few restaurants,
mm-hmm.
correct, that are involved in various ways. Vinegar Hill Theater is also involved,
that's
correct?
True. Yeah, Regal Theaters.
How do you get these independent places? I mean, because it's put on by the university, and I guess you could always say that we're going to strangle you because we control the town. But how do you get these other places to say, yeah, we'll do this?
Well, I don't know that I've ever gone in and pitched it from a strangling aspect before.
That's what this program's all about.
I think that generally, I think that people in Charlottesville see the festival as something that's good, that's exciting, that has potential to bring to serve as an economic catalyst for the town and for the region, as most film festivals do. That potentially can fill hotel rooms and restaurants when there's not a football game or a big event happening in town. And that's what it does, as Festival of the Book does, as Festival of the Photograph does, as arts festivals in general do. And, you know, as a result of that, I think that the businesses that we work with understand that they want to support the community and give back to the community in ways that they can. And this is a way to do that, and hopefully a fun way to do it. I mean, festivals should be fun.
Why was Mother and Child chosen as the centerpiece screening? Because, as you mentioned, funny business, I guess it depends on who you are as to the imagery that comes up with that name, whether you think of comedy or whether you put it in quotes, as you've said. So why was that film chosen as a centerpiece?
Well, again, you know, I think that when you have cake, there's only a little bit of frosting on it. You're not eating all frosting. Why? Because it's too sweet after a while, and you need something to sort of cut that sweetness after a while. And so as a result of that, it's the same thing with comedy. Too much comedy, unless you're just doing a festival that's all comedy, is too much. And also because this may very well be the last year that we have a central theme of the festival. And so it's time for us to start exploring other themes during the festival and not essentially be tied down to one central theme. So what we may be doing in the future, and the final verdict's not out on this, but I think that we're going to be using the festival more to explore a number of themes rather than one central theme. And so this is a great opportunity to look at it in a different way.
How's that thought process gone over with the panel and with others who you've... I mean, it's difficult in many ways for many people for change. And if you've had 22 years of having a theme for each one, how's that discussion gone over with everyone about maybe not having a theme for the 23rd year?
I think that in most cases it's been received from a very positive standpoint. And I think that, you know, that idea of 22 years of something goes both ways, too. 22 years, its time may come. It may have come. And you also start to run out of themes, and you start to, I think that more than anything, and part of, you know, what I'm trying to do with the festival over time is that the festival has been skewing the last couple of years about 60% classic film to 40% new film, and that can change a little bit every year. And what I want to make sure that we do is when we do screen classic films that we're looking at them not just through a historical lens, but through a contemporary lens as well. Why is that film relevant today? What is it saying today? Why is it topical today? And then that we're also seeing more and more contemporary films out there that are commenting directly on what's going on in the world today. And I think that that's very important. So we will continue to screen classic films, but that ratio may change a little bit in the future so that there's more contemporary films on our schedule.
11:33 on the Wake Up Call with Jody Kilbasa. He is the director of the Virginia Film Festival for year 22. Theme, at least of this year, Funny Business, and the festival starts on Thursday, November 5th. Let me thank Blue Ridge Graphics for allowing us to be here with you today. You can find them at Mead Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and online brgtshirts.com. If you want to call up and ask a question, feel free. I've been so caught up in doing that myself that I haven't given out the phone number. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's toll free. Call up and ask your own questions to Jody Kilbasa, who's quite available, I might say, and running into around town or getting your questions answered, whether you do that directly today or pitch that into the festival website. But right here, right now, Jody Kilbasa with us in the studio. I'm looking through the mailer that I've got. Premier Showcase Screenings. So Centerpiece Screening, Mother and Child. 10th Anniversary Screening of American Beauty. Again, for those who know, not a funny classical comedy.
Wait a second.
All right, you're following me on that?
Yeah, I disagree with you. There's a lot of humor in that.
I didn't say it wasn't funny.
Yeah, there's a lot of dark humor.
But there's some really dark pieces to that.
And looks at the funny business of suburbia and the funny business of middle age and a lot of different things. And you know what? We have Alan Ball here who in his first time out writing a screenplay wins the Academy Award, which will be great. And of course,
that movie swept Academy Awards, did it not?
I'd have to look that up again and see how many it actually won, but it did quite well. And Alan won that Academy Award for his first screenplay that year. He's also going to be doing a free panel on True Blood, because of course he created HBO's 6 Feet Under and HBO's True Blood, and is the executive producer and writer creator of both of those shows.
Next on the list, 70th anniversary screening of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, which we already chatted about a bit. More Than a Game.
oh, this is a film that I'm incredibly passionate about. I saw this at Silver Docks in early June and wanted to get that film and was told I couldn't get it and worked and worked and worked and worked, and Lionsgate was kind enough to give it to us. And we're doing a free screening of the film at the Paramount Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock that is open to families and children, and I cannot recommend this film highly enough. It chronicles the story of LeBron James and the Fab Five, starting out when they were 11 years old, playing in AAU competition games, through winning four championship high school basketball national championships, essentially. And they actually lost one year. And the year that they did lose in the finals, Coach Drew Joyce, who had a son on the team, realized that his role really was not so much to coach these young men to become the best basketball players, because frankly they already pretty much were. His role was to turn them into young men of character. It is a beautiful film. It has a strong message for families and children, and it's part of our family day. And I got to share with you this wonderful moment in the film itself, when Coach Drew Joyce's son was 4'10". And he was playing with LeBron James and all these other guys who were, you know, 6'2 to 6'6 at the time. And he goes out in his first high school game, and he's put in midway through, I guess, the third quarter. And the crowd starts to laugh when he hits the court. He's 4'10". Imagine. He looks so small up against these giants. And LeBron feeds him the ball, and he hits a three-pointer. And there's an audible gasp from the crowd. And he comes down again, and they feed him the ball, and he hits another three-pointer. And he comes down a third time, and he hits a three-pointer, and he ends up hitting 6 3-pointers in a row, and the game's not over, and they carry him off on their shoulders, and the entire opposing teams, and they were in the other team's gymnasium, stands up and erupts and gives him a standing ovation. And it's just an incredibly inspiring moment. This is a great film, and I believe I just found out on Friday, and this is again with the late addition of people coming in, that Coach Drew Joyce, who is the coach, was LeBron James's high school basketball coach, wants to come in. We haven't confirmed his travel yet, but if we can get him in, he actually opens his practice the day before. We will get him there to be a speaker, and he's just very motivational and a great speaker. And again, I hope everybody comes in and sees that, and sees our entire family day. We're screening the 20th anniversary of The Little Mermaid. We're also screening the Pixar shorts. We're going to have an interactive family fair in front of the Paramount with a red carpet experience for children, with live performances, and Whole Foods is giving away food, and it's going to be a great day.
How do you plan? All right, before I ask this question. The Drew Joyce, the LeBron James, More Than a Game, that made the news in the last month or so because LeBron James admitted to having marijuana at that time in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're talking about the coach teaching them to become young men. That sounds quite difficult to put on film with the role and the position that LeBron James has now. So is this a documentary?
This is a documentary, and that's not in the film.
I'm not bringing that up to make it so that, oh, don't take your parent. I'm just pointing out that this has become quite a newsworthy film for many, many reasons.
Well, I think it's a newsworthy film, first of all, because it's an excellent film. And, you know, I think that, you know, that's going to be part of the lesson that's out there, and something that shouldn't be avoided by parents. You know, I would say that overall, if you take a look at it, and virtually everybody in there, I don't think anybody can stand up in front of a mirror and say they're perfect, whether it's now or when they were a kid or whenever. But I would say that overall, that the example that LeBron and the other people that are profiled in the film, featured in the film, have set a pretty good example out there in the world of professional sports, certainly in comparison to many professional athletes that are out there.
Yeah, I think it would be very interesting to listen to the coach speak. Is that a possibility of having him speak after the film?
Well, that's certainly the idea. Again, like I said, this was sort of late Friday afternoon that I found out that he's indicated that he would like to come in, and it was a matter of making sure that the travel arrangements could be arranged, because he has an obligation to the team that he's coaching currently to get back in time for practice. So we're trying to see if we can get him a flight in on that morning, and if we're able to do that come Monday or Tuesday, I'm sure we'll send out a press release and let everybody know out there. But in and of itself, the film, and he would speak, yes, he would speak immediately following the film. But I think that probably more than anything is just this is a very wonderful, powerful film that sends a great message, and I, again, highly recommend it.
I think that would be interesting to listen to the difficulties that he had with the position and the time that these young men were growing up and the success that they've reached afterwards and sort of growing through that urbanism that really pulls
well,
out
I think
a
there's a point
today.
In the film where they are at a crossroads, and that's when the coach realizes that it's about molding these men into men of young character, because there was a point where the film where they felt like they could do no wrong out there because everything was coming so easy to them from a basketball standpoint, and they essentially became sort of rock stars. I mean, their games were being covered on ESPN when they were in high school. So, again, I think it's a powerful film, and I hope people will come out and see it.
Yeah, that sounds like a great part of the festival. 11:41 here in the Wake Up Call, talking with Jody Kilbasa. He's the director of the upcoming Virginia Film Festival with the theme Funny Business.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, ignore the headlines and follow your heart. That's what local entrepreneurs did when starting a new business in the midst of a poor economy. The Hook looks at some locals doing their thing, and Monticello employees are now peeing in a cup. Why has the drug testing sparked such an outrage? The Hook, free, informative, free, helpful, and free. And Blue Ridge Mountain Sports here with us today. You can find them specializing in Gore-Tex outdoor footwear from Merrell, the North Face, as well as guaranteed fittings. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barracks Road Shopping Center in Charlottesville. They're at Wintergreen and in Richmond at the Chesterfield Town Center and on West Broad Street at BRMS.com. And we also want to remind you who made pledges to the recent fund drive but haven't paid them yet, please do so as soon as possible. People who can take your payment and help you with premiums are here until 7 p.m. on weekdays, sometimes later, and even on weekends, especially if you call first. We're at 2250 Old Ivy Road in Charlottesville behind the Ivy Inn restaurant. Zip code 22903 if you're mailing in your pledge. Second round of written reminders to those with unpaid pledges are going out soon. And thanks again to those who've already honored your pledges. We've reached nearly 94% collection rate with just over $80,000 pledged. All right, back in action as we talk with Jody Kilbasa. Jody, a little bit about the local there. Talk about some of the local things. The opening film, Marching Band, filmed here in Charlottesville. What else?
Well, we have a documentary that's being screened called Claw, which features the Charlottesville Lady Arm Wrestlers that was filmed here. And then we have a number of films that were Charlottesville Kitchen Killers, which is a horror film that was shot here locally in one of our restaurants and is a lot of fun. And then we have some really, really strong films that were shot around the state of Virginia. One is a documentary called Bedford, which takes a look at the town of Bedford in Virginia, which is the site of the D-Day monument, also had the highest concentration of World War II veterans who served at D-Day. And, you know, this is a very important film because it interviews a number of these veterans who are still alive. One has since passed away since this film was made, and it's a beautiful, stirring film that I personally love. I mentioned Marching Band, of course. The documentary Locked Out, The Fall of Massive Resistance, I think has been very topical in the last several months here in Charlottesville and an important film to see. And we have Governor Doug Wilder is coming in to participate on that panel. And, of course, the first African-American governor in the United States. And I think it's going to be wonderful that he participates in this panel, and that's of tremendous interest as well. And there's a number of short films that are in the festival as well that have been shot locally or in Virginia. And we have a whole day on Saturday that is devoted to Virginia filmmakers. and we encourage people to get down and support them, an opportunity to mingle and talk with them, and to see the films that they've worked on. A fun film, a short called Neighborhood Watch, which won the Richmond 48-Hour Film Project, is going to be screened actually before one of our comedies in the festival, and I haven't spoken that much about them, called Tenure, that stars Luke Wilson and Gretchen Mol, and that 9-minute short called Neighborhood Watch is going to be screened immediately before that film. And there's a lot of good stuff out there by Virginia filmmakers and Charlottesville filmmakers.
We're talking about the comedy part, which we seem to have spent most so far talking about the American Beauty, the dark comedy, or Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, sort of the in quotes funny business. You have a segment devoted to British comedies.
We do.
In the flyer. And you mentioned Monty Python, which I think for many males of my age, Monty Python was always wonderful when enjoying social activities over the weekends. tell me a little bit more about British comedies. What's happening in that area of the film festival?
Well, we're doing a couple, Death at a Funeral and In Search of the Holy Grail and Kind Hearts and Coronets, which is actually celebrating its 70th anniversary as well, I believe. Is it 70th? What year is that? Sean, my resident film historian. Yeah, it wasn't 39. My director of operations, who's British, and I've actually asked him to head this up with some professors of English at the University of Virginia, and I thought it was important that we take a look at British comedy, because there's always the concept out there that the British have their own sense of comedy.
Right, you either find it really funny or you're like,
I don't get that.
Well, it's British.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that would be a fun little sidebar, and it's three films to explore. And what is different, what is unique about British comedy? And there's actually quite a bit that is. And certainly The Flying Circus, Monty Python and the Flying Circus is a prime example of that. And there's many others out there as well. So I thought that would be a fun sidebar to look. We're also looking at the classic screwball comedies of the 30s. And we have Maria Di Battista, who is in from Princeton University. And she's written a book called Fast Talking Dames. And she's going to be discussing a number of these films. And some of them have a political nature as well, like Meet John Doe or Gabriel in the White House, but some, you know, His Girl Friday, which takes a look at media, of course, and newspapers. So those are fun. And actually, the screwball comedies of the 30s are my favorite comedies of all time. I just love that period and just think that they're exceptional. And they're the toughest ones to remake and recreate today for whatever reasons. And I think a lot of it just has to do with the way our society has changed. And I think that'll be part of the topic as well.
Your flyer has one page, comedy classics and screwball comedies, and then you turn the page and there's corkscrew comedies, and until I read deep into the paragraphs, I'm thinking, what is the difference between a screwball comedy and a corkscrew comedy?
Well, in this case, for us corkscrew comedies, we have two films in the festival, Mondovino, which is a documentary, and another film, Court, which is essentially a mockumentary about the winemaking industry. And we thought it would be kind of fun to show these two films, because there's such an interest and such a wine industry here in this region. And again, for me, in programming the festival, I wanted to make sure that we touched upon some subjects that are important in this region and topical, and wine is certainly one of them. I know that we're surrounded by, I can't say the exact number, but it's got to be at least 20 wineries just in, you know, probably a 30-40 mile radius, if not more. So, you know, I thought that would be a great subject to explore and to involve the wineries. We're going to have some wine tastings at some art galleries that are associated with that as well. That information will be on our website. And, again, it was just a way to involve in local industries.
And the website being vafilm.com. Go check it out. And then Tuesday, you said the entire listings of what's going to be happening will be coming out.
That's right. We're going to have a full glossy, full color program that's going to have everything in the festival, the complete A to Z of every single film, our showcases, our highlights, everything will be out.
Jody Kilbasa here in the studio today, director of the 22nd Annual Virginia Film Festival with the theme Funny Business. And I also want to mention that if you pick up this week's copy of The Hook, there's a contest in there. There's five or six pictures from films that I assume will be are being shown in the event. You
That's
identify
right.
what film that photo is from, and you turn in, and you have the possibility of winning quite a wonderful reward related to the film festival.
Well, tickets to various events during the festival, you know, and that's another thing that we've done this year. You asked about new traditions. We have really opened up our special events during the festival. We are selling tickets to the opening night gala, which has moved this year to the John Paul Jones Arena, and to our late night wrap party, which happens on Saturday, November 7th. It starts up at 10 o'clock. It's at the X Lounge, and that's a great opportunity for people to come and mingle with the filmmakers, have a great time. We're going to have a great DJ there performing. And then Friday night, we have a dance party with John Waters in attendance at the new Southern Lounge. And it's only $10 to get in, $5 for students, and should be a lot of fun with Mr. Waters and kind of crazy. We've got some DJs coming in from New York for that and should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I had John Waters on my list. I was saving for late in the program because when you talk about funny business, he seems to fit that no matter how you want to quote it, quite well known. And I find his films to be my all-time favorite film is the one with the scratch and sniff card. Polyester,
yes,
I believe
yes,
it is.
Yes, yes.
Which I guess would be hard to do at the film festival. But when I heard he was coming, I thought, ooh, wonder if they're going to have the scratch and sniff card again.
Well, we're actually screening Hairspray and Pink Flamingos. And, you know, he is doing an Arts Assembly address, and this is an association with the Arts Assembly at the University of Virginia, which is free and open to the public. And a great opportunity. It's in the Culber Theater Friday afternoon at 4:30, Friday, November 6th. And then we're screening Hairspray, followed by Pink Flamingos that same evening at Newcomb. And then the dance party is going to be at Southern, and it's going to be a John Waters Day at the Virginia Film Festival. And again, I think it's a great opportunity, and it goes from free to basically $10 get an opportunity to listen to Mr. Waters or see him talk about a film or be at a party with him.
Or dance.
There you
with
go.
John Waters. That would be quite something.
I don't think we can guarantee a
list.
Dance with Mr. Waters. But
take a moment, and it is 11:53 on the wake-up call with Jody Kilbasa, who's the director of the Virginia Film Festival. Your input on what you think John Waters has done for the film world?
Well, I think that the most important thing to take a look at is Mr. Waters is continuously pushed the envelope in the film world and in the art world. And I think that a lot of what he first did is now sometimes mainstream out there. But that's what every great artist does, that they're able to push the boundaries of the art form until things become more and more accepted. And when that happens, then they start pushing some more. And I think that's going to be his legacy in the film world and as an artist.
You mentioned Sunday sort of being, and in the past it's been Family Day. I think that the folks who are listening to us today, many of them have the event in mind and are waiting for, they've already been to the website, they might have received the flyer, they're waiting for the massive guide to come out on Tuesday. And some folks are like, well, you know, I got kids, what do I do? A little bit more about what you have to do to plan a family day and what those events are for everybody.
Well, the family day is on Saturday, November 7th, and that's at the Paramount and outside the Paramount, the downtown mall, and also involves the Virginia Discovery Museum as well. So really it's an opportunity to attend from 10 o'clock in the morning till 3 that day and sort of do a one-stop, family day. You're going to have the Pixar shorts for the younger kids that are screened at 10 o'clock in the morning at the Paramount, and they're all, you know, 7 to 10 minutes long. So if you have younger children and you're concerned about are they going to sit through a whole thing, it's only 52 minutes in length. And because there's several short films that are all award-winning films, those wonderful Pixar shorts, Bird on a Wire, and so many of them, it's a great opportunity to take the kids for just an hour if you want. And then go outside, We're going to have live performances, giveaways out there. We're going to have camera setups for children, and it's going to be a lot of fun, an interactive event. Then we're going to screen shortly after the Pixar Shorts at 11, the 20th anniversary of The Little Mermaid. And I've had a lot of parents say, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it's been 20 years. But, you know, if you've got children out there, it's a Disney classic. It's a lot of fun. And then, as I mentioned before, the screening of More Than a Game happens at 1 o'clock. And, again, that's a great screening that I think will be appealing to children 10 and up.
How do you come up with these? I mean, who sits down and says, what do we need to do for the families?
Well, I have an outreach and education coordinator, Jane Freeman, and a young man who's volunteered, Will Vanderlinde, who have pulled together this entire day of outreach and education. I program the films, but they've reached out in the community to partner with various groups. We're working with Lighthouse and Music Resource Center, a number of other groups as well. Sprout, which is a children's film festival that's done, and they're going to be presenting films. And the idea was to reach out in the community and give something. I mean, these children are our audience of the future. 10 years from now, I hope they're attending the Virginia Film Festival, hopefully as adults. So it's a great way to reach children through the art of film, and that was very important to me. And, you know, the day is free. We actually are charging $1 for the Pixar Shorts and $1 for Little Mermaid, but More Than a Game is entirely free, and the outside fair is entirely free. And, again, this was important to me just to make something that was, you know, everybody can go to.
This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS-FM Sweetbriar. I'm Hurst Lynchburg. Jody Kilbasa here. He's the director of the Virginia Film Festival. The Adrenaline Film Project?
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, that's something that's been a hard and fast tradition here for a number of years, and something that really engages and excites everybody. We screen that at 10 o'clock on Saturday night, and then we're reprising it again on Sunday morning. And that is essentially a kind of a 48-hour film project in which they have student teams and community teams of filmmakers that get together. They're given a theme to explore, and they create a short film really in just a couple of days, and then they screen that film, and you do receive an award for this film, Rick, and it's a great thing, and it's high energy, it's done on the fly, and people are really interested to see what these filmmakers can create under the gun, so to speak, with just a very limited time frame.
What do you do when all this is over? How long before you start working on the next year?
You know, probably about 30 days. And, you know, you're working on it as you go through the festival because you're learning. You're learning about what works and doesn't work. And, you know, every time you do one of these, you go, oh, gosh, I should have done this film, or I wish I could have done this, or wouldn't it have been great to involve this group in the community? And so, you know, you put that on the back burner until you start again for next year. So you're gonna look at maybe 30 days of wrap-up time, and you start planning for the next year.
You know, here's one that got lost in my list, but I found this to be really interesting. There's a panel on gender in film.
Yes. Yes, there is.
I want to know more about that because that's the one that caught my attention most.
Well, we're screening Some Like It Hot, and we're screening Trans America, and then a new film called The Private Lives of Pippa Lee, and all of them take a look at gender in film and how gender is treated in film differently. And we're having a panel after Some Like It Hot to discuss that with Andrea Press, who's the chair of media studies, Harry Schottner, Claire Kaplan, Maria De Battista, who's the film fellow that I talked about earlier, and just kind of take a look at how that has evolved over the years, how Hollywood takes a look at gender in film.
All right, one last shot. Where do people find their information? People who have been interested can volunteer, etc.
VAfilm.com. Our box office is down at the Culper Theater on the grounds of the University of Virginia, but we're actually setting up a remote box office starting Monday afternoon on the downtown mall at our visitor suite, which is clearly marked and just about a block down from the Paramount Theater.
All right, and the festival starts 2 days after you vote. Go vote on Tuesday the 3rd, and then make sure you've already bought your tickets and start walking into the various films and other events on the festival, which starts Thursday the 5th. Jody, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Rick. I enjoyed it very much.
And check out your stuff, and then you can give feedback for what you want to see in 2010.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.